absolutely wonderful, beautiful, and I'm so glad to hear them. But the one little girl on the left over here, this, I don't know who that little girl was. When she got to the jingle bells, she was a picture of joy. And I wish that adults could discover that kind of joy when they think about the Lord Jesus and Christmas. I pray that she grows up to know the Lord Jesus and carries that. I've never seen joy like that. Joy, ringing those bells for Jesus. I was an Aquilite Lutheran. My friends were altar boys, Catholic. And on Sunday, not only would I light the candles, but I would ring the bell because I was also in the children's choir. And I remember the bell room and the rope was, I remember grabbing it with my hands and it's like, I was grabbing it like this in New York City and ringing the bell every Sunday morning. And it would lift me up off the ground. That was so much fun. But I didn't know Jesus until I was 21. And then it dawned on me what the joy was all about. And and you know that joy and you share that joy with others, I pray, during the Christmas season. I don't know if anybody here, has ever lived in New York City. When I first moved to North Carolina, I used to call my friends and tease them. I said, you know, you can park in front of your own house here. What? Really? I had a friend visit me one time in Brooklyn, picked him up at the airport, and I was going to drive to our apartment on 82nd Street. And I said, we live right here. And he said, oh, okay. We're up in the fourth floor. Okay. But there were no parking spots. So I drove around the block four times and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for a parking spot. Took four times around the block until I finally found a spot. And then, we parked there, which, is going to lead up to the little story that I'll tell. In the 1950s, there was a garbage strike. The sanitation department went on strike in New York, and the garbage very quickly piles up. You can imagine 8 million people in Brooklyn, and they're not picking up the garbage. It's piled up. And one ingenious student of human nature, a confirmed bachelor, came up with a great plan. He would take his coffee grounds and potato peels and fish bones and put it in one of those little folding boxes that you used to get at Abraham and Strauss, you know, the church came in and stuff. You pop them open, you know, you put it in that. And then he'd gift wrap it. And he'd put it in the back seat of his car and leave the car unlocked. And human nature did not disappoint him. Every morning, the garbage was gone. Now, somebody must have been very surprised when they opened up their treasure, but they found out it was garbage and quite ingenious. Isaiah chapter number 9, Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What children love most about Christmas is the presents. What we have grown up to discover to be far more important is the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. It's not the hype I love about Christmas, it's the hope. The hype is hyper shopping and hyper schedules and hyper tinsel and hyper tension. The world does not need more hype, but it certainly needs more hope. Not the holiday hope, but the holiness hope. Not the Bob Hope hope. And not the I'm dreaming of a white Christmas hope, but the God come down hope. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Every Christmas we hold out the gift to the world. We hold out hope. Not the bicycle under the Christmas tree, but the presence of God. And that he came for me, Emmanuel. Children love the anticipation, the possibility, the presence on Christmas morning. But all those gifts are wood, hay, and stubble when compared to the gold, frankincense, and myrrh and the faith, hope, and love of Christmas. The world is a dark place without hope, and it would be pitch black without Christmas. As in the Genesis before time, we read the world was without form and void and dark. The answer to darkness is light. The world was dark in the days of Caesar Augustus, and when the hate-filled King Herod was sitting on the throne. And then in the night sky, suddenly a Christmas star began to shine, and magi, wise men from the east, were drawn by its luminescence. The wise men followed the little light in the sky. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. And everyone here that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior had a day in their life when suddenly a little light began to shine in the darkness. They said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And so this room is filled this morning with wise men and wise women who have seen his light and have come to worship him. The book of John says the light shone in darkness and the darkness overcame it not. To anyone who is tired of sin, weary of darkness, we point to the light of God's word and invite them to forsake the folly of sin and the faithless life, to believe in him and follow him, whom to know is life eternal. People are living in the spiritual dark ages, and the darkness is deep. It's blacker than a coal mine in classrooms across the land. Every day, boys and girls descend into the coal mines of humanism to listen to men and women, to teachers who love darkness rather than light, or have been born blind and satisfied with the darkness because they don't know him. The entertainment industry, government, financial district are also working in the dark. The message of Christmas is a message of hope and of light. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. People need hope, whether they live in the ghetto or in a gated community, whether they are incarcerated in a penal institution or chained to the drudgery of a life of despair, wondering if darkness is all there is. I read the Christmas story and I see hope. Our version of Christmas and the Christmas story is a sort of collage, a montage of snippets, songs, traditions, and Bible verses, some taken out of context and some out of historical order. Isaiah said, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." In the days of Isaiah, the Assyrian army was sweeping across the known world like sin, destroying everything in its path. It carried away the northern tribes of Israel. And now, again, the wolf was at the door. People were afraid. It was as if ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Tojo, and the Nazis had won World War II and were now invading your hometown. People were panicking. Leaders were looking for alliances, for weapons. Isaiah basically says, your man-made plans will fail. Your man-made weapons will fail as well. Only one thing will save you. There is only one help and one hope. God with us, Emmanuel. If you only realize that's the secret and missing ingredient in people's lives. It makes all the difference. It doesn't matter what happens if God is with us. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." Everything depends on whether or not he's with us. The dying thief on the cross who suddenly had his eyes open and his heart open, looked at the Lord Jesus and said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And what did Jesus say? "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Everybody's studying that word paradise when they should be studying the words "with me." That's the secret. It doesn't matter where we are as long as we're with him. Are you with me? You see, until we come to the place where we understand who Jesus is, we're lost and in the dark. But once we do, we're with him. And that means to follow him, to be in agreement with him, to stick with him as his follower, as his disciple, as a part of his family. Isaiah told the people, basically, your only hope is in the God with us. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. And there are only two kinds of people in the world, those with God and those without God. That's the seed of the Christmas story. It was a promise. God saved Judah so the seed would survive. That's Jesus. And again, 1,000 years later, when the Roman Empire, with its boot on Israel's throat, was threatening the survival of the nation of God, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, our Savior, and the Savior of the world. There is only one hope and one help. Emmanuel, God with us, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so I don't have the Star of Bethlehem this morning, but I do have the Bible, which is brighter than any star in the universe. And we say, look up, look up. Or better, look in, look in, look into the hymn book, and like the wise men, look for him, follow him to the Father's house, follow him to heaven. Wise they were, these magi. They did not stop until they found him. Some of us have had similar experiences. Some first laid eyes on him in a manger. Some first saw him when their eyes were opened on the Jericho road. Others were on their way to Damascus, and some on their way to Emmaus. Wise men still seek him, and wise men bow down before him. When we have seen his star in the east, we come to worship him. So again, it's not the hype, it's the hope. Hope for sinners who feel the conviction of sin. Hope for the hopeless who have believed the lie and now lie in darkness. Hope for them. There's hope for the helpless in the night of despair, wondering if this dark world is all there is. We hold up the light of God's word, like the Star of Bethlehem this morning, the bright and morning star, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, while there is light, believe the light. God's word is the light of the world. Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Even in the world, if people can get beyond the hype, they can dimly see the hope. They sing Silent Night, and the truth lies in a manger right before the rise, and some of them miss it. And I use the word like the world uses the word. Silent Night. But their faith is a wouldn't it be nice kind of hope. That's not enough. And so you need to go beyond the manger and make your way to the cross. And there we find the help that we need when Jesus dies in our stead and pays for our sin in full. Well, perhaps you're looking for the perfect gift for that special person this Christmas. You're looking for something not ordinary. You're looking for something that produces a response in the face of your children or your grandchildren. You know what I mean. When they tear the ribbons off and remove the paper and open the box. You're looking for a certain expression on their face. We call it the the wow factor. The Bible calls it wonderful. Christ is called a gift. He is the greatest gift and the perfect gift. Isaiah calls him, yes, wonderful. In John, we see he's called the only begotten of the Father. Only in some translations is translated unique, misunderstood by some. What it means is one of a kind, but even more than one of a kind, it means the only kind like the Father. That's unique. No one else is one of a kind like the Father. That's Jesus. I can't deny that he is one of a kind. He is also called in the Bible precious. A precious gift is valuable, a valuable gift as opposed to a worthless gift. When we talk about something being precious or valuable, to most people, we're talking about something we cannot afford. Something very expensive. Moses understood the value of the preciousness of God's gift and was willing to give up all of Egypt in order to get it. It was his pearl of great price. Faith in God on one side and the world on the other. And Moses turns his back on the world to receive the gift of God, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Not only could we not afford this gift of God, if you had all the money in the world, you could not buy it because it's not for sale. It's God's gift to you. Wonderful is what we call it. That's the wow factor. So the first thing you want when you buy that gift for your grandchild, your children, you want something wonderful that makes their eyes get big and their jaws drop and their mouths become open. You've seen that before. Wonderful, the reaction you want. The second thing a perfect gift is, it's got to be wise. Jesus is called the counselor. He is wisdom. God asked the new king Solomon if he would make a wish. It's sort of like he asked him, what do you want for Christmas? And Solomon thought and he said, how about wisdom? Don't you wish you could give your children that for Christmas? Solomon asked for wisdom and proved that he was halfway there, and God made him a wise man. He wrote the book of Proverbs. A perfect gift must be a wise gift, a thoughtful gift, a thought-out gift, an appropriate gift, a gift that fits. You get Johnny a dump truck. And you give Lucy a baby doll. I don't think it was wise to give Johnny a baby doll, but that's just me. God knows how to give good gifts. Not only is Jesus a good gift, he's a wise gift. He's called wisdom itself, and a person is a fool not to receive it. And sin is always a foolish choice. Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. A perfect gift, the perfect gift that someone's looking for is powerful or useful. Jesus is not only wisdom, the light of God, he is also the might of God. He is the authority and the power, 1 Corinthians 1:24. Wisdom and power of God. An engine is powerful. A computer is powerful. And so is authority. Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the power to let you go or to crucify you?" Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." You have no power except what's given to you from above. Powerful. How many disappointed children on Christmas morning when they discover batteries not included? And daddy forgot to go out to the 7-Eleven and pick them up. There it is, but it doesn't work. No, when God gives the gift, batteries are included. "Well, by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And grace is God at work in you, both to will and to do God's pleasure." Powerful. "Ye shall receive power, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The power of God and the wisdom of God. Powerful. Someone once tried to buy the power of God from Peter in the book of Acts and found out that it's not for sale. "But to as many as received him, to them gives he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name." In John chapter 5, an impotent man lay for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda. And every time the water stirred and the water moved, the sick crowd made their way into its wetness, hoping to be made well. Jesus finally came by and said, "Would thou be made whole?" And he said, "Every time I try to make it to the water, somebody else gets there before me. I'm a cripple." Well, in this world, it's cripple against cripple, and every cripple man for himself. And finally, Jesus comes by and says, "Don't worry, you don't even have to crawl. Just believe in me." And he did, and he rose up and he walked. That's power. And one day he came into your life and he came into my life. And ever since that day, batteries are included. He gives us the power with his presence. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The last thing a perfect gift should be is something that is needed. And if there's anything this world needs today, it's peace. Everything's falling apart. We're building supersonic, hypersonic weapons, and we're pointing them at each other. Crazy people are building atomic bombs in their basement as I speak. Somebody is in a bioweapons lab trying to find some biological Frankenstein to kill everybody. And the reason is we're sinners and we are separated from God and we need to be made right with God, and only Jesus Christ can do that and give us peace. Something that we need. From Ferguson to Fallujah, from Moscow to Minnesota. The problem is people don't know the peace of God. And we can only find that at Calvary. I've told my story many times. When I came home from Vietnam, I brought the war with me. Couldn't see it. Didn't have it in a duffel bag or a suitcase. But I had it in my heart and in my head. And I, like many people that I knew, who basically jumped off the ledge into drugs or alcohol addiction or to some other form of insanity, never quite recovered. And I used to see them on occasion at the bus stations holding their discharge papers, showing everybody where they've been and where they lost their mind. And I'm so glad that somebody reminded me that there's hope in the world found in Jesus Christ. And that little altar boy, that acolyte, went back to the Bible, the book of books, the hymn book, to take a second look. And I'm so glad I did. For there I found him to be everything he claimed to be. He said he is the way, and I believed him. For the sinner, he's the way out. For the seeker, he's the way in. For the fallen, he's the way up. For those gone astray, he's the way back. For those who are lost, he's the way home. He's the highway, the freeway, the throughway, the narrow way, and the only way. He also said that he is the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, you can believe the truth. Found his word to be untainted and untangled and without shadow of turning. The truth is what is. And Jesus is the great I am. The truth is the straight edge, the fulcrum, the tip of the spear. He also said that he's life. He said all that put their faith in him will have new, abundant, and eternal life. A mighty gift. I can't tell you how many presents I received on Christmas in 76 years. I think back, I remember a few. But all those presents that I got are gone. Some I lost. Some got broken. Some wore out. Some fell out of vogue. Some were stolen. Like my Schwinn bike, my brother took to Staten Island on the Staten Island Ferry and came back without it. Got stolen. I received a gift 55 years ago that's eternal. Jesus said, no one can take it out of my hand. It's forever gift. And he offers it and holds it out again this Christmas to anyone who would receive it. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's what love does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the forever gift. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. After the feeding of the 5,000, he gathered up these baskets full of fragments, verse 13, John 6, all that remained. God gives us abundantly, even more than we can ask or think. Verse 14 says, and then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and, look at it, they would come and take him. Wow, that's the first error. Second, by force. That's the second error. And make him a king. Well, that's the third error. He is already a king. But I want you to see a nuance here that's important. We don't take Jesus. We receive Jesus. Big difference. The fellow who took the gift wrap garbage out of the back seat of the car each night during the sanitation strike, he took it. There's a big difference between taking and receiving. Now, what we have today going on in the world and what we have going on in America, where everything is falling apart, but they don't know the difference between taking and receiving. Big difference. They would take Jesus by force and make him king. Not for himself, but they did it, wanted to do it for themselves to make Israel great again. That's when we find the best candidate. We take him and we make him president. Or we make him senator. Or we make him congresswoman. No. We don't take Jesus. He takes us. He takes us to himself. He takes us to the Father's house. He takes us to heaven. He takes us all the way. Now, we receive him. And that requires humility because grace is a gift that we humbly receive. We don't deserve it. We receive it. But to as many as receive him, to them gives he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Well, I hope that you've received him, and I hope that you've already found the perfect gift in Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. As I said, when I came home from Vietnam, I did not have peace in my heart. And I found this Jesus Christ again to be God incarnate and the answer to not only the world's problems, but the answer to my problems. And I knelt by that army bunk bed and I, in a sense, waved the white flag of surrender. I surrendered all of my arguments, all of my arrogance, all of my pride, and said, "Lord, unless I have you in my life, I'm lost forever in the dark. I don't understand everything, but as best I know how, I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And when I got up, I have to say, I had peace. I have it to this day. No matter what happens, I have the Prince of Peace sitting on the throne of my heart. It might not be right, what just happened. But it's all right, because he is with me. Are you with him? That's what's most important. Oh, that you might be able to share that gift with that grandson, that granddaughter, that great-grandson, that great-granddaughter, that child, that son, that boy, that girl. This world desperately needs not the hype of Christmas, but the hope of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the light. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the truth. I pray that as we would leave this place, that we would have joy in our hearts. That what we say and what we do would be more than a jingle bell, but it would show people that our lives have been changed and that people can also find hope in him, whom to know is life eternal. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day. God bless you and Merry Christmas.